cliffcentral.com. We are sitting with Themba Baloyi, Executive Director, Discovery Insure, and one of the founders, or a founder of it. And we just had an authentic leadership conversation with him. So do listen to that podcast, or we hope you listen to the live show. Now we're just going to interview him, have a casual conversation about his life. And I get a feeling 25 minutes is not enough for that, but certainly enough to touch on. He's someone who seems to be authentic in trying to live what he preaches. And let's understand a bit more about him. Themba, you're such a driver. I want to say performer, doer, energetic, embracing life with everything you have, it seems. From comrades to doing your MBA and being an executive and no doubt family man, whatever else you do in your life that we don't even know about. What makes you restless? Are you a restless soul? Or are you simply at peace and you're just moving forward? What keeps you, what makes you tick?
You know, it's interesting you use the word restless, because one friend of mine used the same expression. But I said, it makes me happy to be constantly looking for something new, to be thinking about things differently. That's what makes me happy. It may drive my friends and family crazy, hopefully not in a bad way, but that's who I am. I just love the idea of seeking new avenues, continuously thinking about what's the next thing to do and how to solve a specific problem. And that's what defines me. And I love that part of it. I mean, for instance, I just did the comrades, and I'd been trying to solve this equation of, as a type 1 diabetic, how do I manage to finish without having hypos? And I finished a number of them, but there's always been a big concern that I could end up in a diabetic coma. For the first time, I've cracked the code that I can finish and have my sugars well maintained. So that means I'm going to try now to push a bit harder because I found a solution.
And your family's going, oh my goodness. How many hours a night do you sleep on average?
I mean, I've changed a bit. I mean, I used to spend about 4 to 6 hours. Now I try to push it to about 7 hours.
Are you succeeding?
I am, but I still wake up and read in the wee hours of the morning. And there's a little bit of appreciating the power of sleep, that it rejuvenates you. It rejuvenates you more than you would think. I still do go to sleep thinking about something and actually dream about the answer. And I don't know whether that's called sleeping or is that processing stuff while you are lying down. And I enjoy that part of it. But I do want to emphasize the importance of sleep, because in the past we grew up with a view that, I would say it in Siswati, which was one of the areas where I grew up, ingubo haina mali. That's what they used to say, which means sleeping doesn't pay. And yes, to a great extent, we accept that hard work is the answer, but we also need to understand the health-related benefits of taking the time out to rejuvenate the body.
I find too many top leaders sleep a few hours.
Yes.
They're quite
talented. And I'm guilty. But there is a reality that we all need to start appreciating, that we create our own longevity by taking time out.
It's amazing, though, Adrian, how our mindset, when it changes, how we see things differently. For instance, you can keep on saying, if you sleep too much, that you're a failure. You can. Or you can turn it around and say, wait a bit, to what extent is sleep a vital part of my rejuvenation you spoke about, and of my betterment as a person? Changes it completely as well. But some people use that to rationalize being lazy, quite frankly, or running away from the world. One can understand that, the pressures of life. But quite frankly, sleep is designed to be an extremely positive thing. The truth is that we are moving and working very hard. But what you're saying, if you control it properly, then it'll be a far more positive movement than one we resent the fact that my body's resting.
Yes.
How much TV do you watch?
Hardly.
Okay. So little sleep, but you're trying to increase that?
Yeah.
And you would promote sleep as good, hardly any TV. All right. Now, you joined Discovery in 2001. And if one reads up, you spearheaded numerous projects, but one also reads the sentence that says you had a 10-year vision of, I'm assuming, Discovery Insure.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about this, because I think there's lots of lessons. You were doing your MBA, you had to do your dissertation or thesis or whatever on some project in your business. I'm assuming that's where this concept was born, maybe?
No,
but
not at all.
Just tell us how did this 10-year vision thing, what is that?
I mean, as I said, we spoke earlier on, and I spoke about vision, seeing beyond the eyes can see. It's always important. If you can see with the spiritual eyes, beyond what the naked eye can see. And I always had this vision and this view that would create a business that solves genuine problems. And we know in South Africa that we've got a problem of road fatalities. And Discovery Insure, in my view at the time, was that it wasn't just going to be about insurance solutions. It was a solution that is intertwined with the current issues that the country is facing. And it was through that clear focus, continuous research. By the way, when I wrote the thesis, it was many years later after I had been thinking about the idea of what we need to do. But the point I'm making is that the biggest driver for me is that when the problem is still in front of you, you can't ignore it. You can't just throw your hands up in the air and hope that someone else is going to solve the problem. I always say, even as things stand right now, when I'm involved in various discussions, be it with business relating to legislators, etc., etc., so there's a problem. Someone must stand up to solve the problem. You can't talk about the problem as something that must be solved by someone else. And so for me, that's been the approach. It's been the thing that I always hold very dear to my heart, that if there's a solution, if I know that I need to solve this thing, why should I expect that it's Adrian that's going to solve it if I don't want to raise my hand?
Are you saying the problem of road fatalities
is still there?
And okay, but at the time, that was the issue?
Yes.
And did you then know that you might, in some small measure, contribute to solving the problem by launching a short-term insurance company for vehicle insurance?
So
did you know that was the solution?
It was about seeking a business model, self-sustaining mechanism that's going to make it work over a long term. Because the issue here is that you can throw a lot of money into it. We can go and do a lot of fundraising. And the point is, after that, those funds that you've raised are depleted, how do you sustain yourself to push this message of safe driving? How do you make it live longer and far beyond the donors that you might have? And the only way I could figure out was to make it create some kind of a business-related solution that speaks to that problem. And we know everyone needs to have insurance, especially if your vehicle is financed. And so why don't you take the interrelated opportunities and bring them together to solve this specific problem?
So could one argue that the idea was to then create that structure, that business model, that has a beautiful spin-off of getting people to drive safer?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then thinking, well, how do we take it, because the problem's still there? How do we take it further? Well, we would actually want other short-term insurance companies, even competitors, to adopt the same principle so that we can reach more people. Well, the problem is still there. What else do we do to solve the problem? It so happens that your solution must also make money, I guess, you know, to stay sustainable.
Yes.
But that's a nice point there, Louis, is yeah, we have lots of NGOs and civic society who only survive on donations or fundraising and so on, and they have to keep doing that. Once that expertise does not work anymore, then everything else collapses potentially. You're saying a business, a need, bring it together, it becomes social entrepreneurialism in a way, doesn't it?
You know, I was raised with a very simple definition of what an entrepreneur is, and that definition still rings true up until today. An entrepreneur is someone who harnesses the factors of production to solve a genuine problem in a profitable way. I maintain that definition because that definition is basically the catalyst to making this world a better place. Solve a genuine problem in a profitable way. Okay. Harness the four factors or whatever factors of production at your disposal.
So let us not assume everyone knows Discovery Insure. What is the essence there, the safe driving principle? Just take us through that for a second.
I mean, so we've set ourselves a very clear target to create a nation of great drivers, because we know that when we create you to be a better driver, give you the tools to make you a better driver, hopefully you can save your family from getting involved in a crash when you're driving with them. Or you probably save someone else's life by the way you drive. And in that way, we reduce road fatalities, we create longevity for you, and it becomes a self-fulfilling spiral of safety. And that's for us a key thing that we need to accept, that when you solve a problem, yes, we know you need to pay for insurance, but can we make sure that it's a double whammy for you? You're paying for insurance, you're saving you're keeping your family safe, and you're saving other people's lives on the road.
Okay, just the technical side of it. So do I have something in my car that determines how I drive?
Yes, certainly.
It logs
so
back
here to your... So we use telemetry technology. Mm-hmm. We use telemetry technology to measure how you drive. At the beginning when we started, we used to have a black box installed in your vehicle. Now we've got an app and tag as an option for you, so that when you use your smartphone, connect via Bluetooth, there's that tag sitting on your windscreen. And that's how we collect the data and we give you score at the end of the month. In fact, with an app and tag, we give you score after each and every drive. So you get to know how was your acceleration, braking, cornering, and speeding, and phone usage, which is crucial for us, because phone usage going forward, there's an estimate that says the largest killer of the human population going into the future will be mobile use, mobile phone usage, distracted driving. So can we solve that problem by incentivizing you, giving you something, a carrot, that's going to make you not to do that?
Okay. That's so I haven't heard that technical explanation. I had a feeling of the principle, you know. So that's powerful. So do you extend your model into what else is causing fatalities? It's drinking and driving. So do you get involved as a business in that campaign?
Yes, certainly. We can't tell you don't drink and drive if we don't give you a solution to that problem. So our solution is very easy. We've partnered with Uber, we've partnered with Scooters Angel and all these companies that are designed to take you home safely so that you don't get behind the wheel while you're drunk. And we've made it very accessible and easy on your mobile phone. So it's no longer something that's cumbersome where you think about, okay, I've got a night out, you've had one too many, and then you are forced to get behind the wheel. We don't operate that way. We can't tell you don't do something when we haven't given you a solution.
2011, you launched it, right?
Yes.
How long was the lobbying and the preparation before? When did the work start? Except when the vision was, the spiritual vision was in your mind. That was way before. But just tell us the amount of work that went into this project before 2011.
Convincing and chasing Adrian up and down. I counted, it was almost 7 to 8 years. I mean, of course, the vision was born much earlier than that, which was about 10 years before we launched. But the whole idea of continuously chasing Adrian to get the kind of board approval that we needed to launch the business, it was almost 8 years. And
That makes him sound very unreasonable.
No, not at all.
Just give us that side of things.
You've got to accept that the business was going through a number of experiences. We had
unbundling
issues.
And changes.
We had issues in the U.S. with the business that was based in the U.S. There were opportunities with Ping An in China that were cropping up. There were also opportunities with Discovery Invest. So you can imagine that he was juggling a lot of opportunities at the same time. And I think he was gracious in the way that he noted to the staff members that we always had a view that maybe this would be an opportunity, but it was through persistent follow through despite the rebuttals over the years that saw the business come to life.
Did you have enough reasons to stop? To give up?
Of course, there are a lot of reasons to stop anything you want to
do. So you could have.
I mean, there are always opportunities to find something easier to do. And for me, it was not so much about finding something easier to do. It was about, you want to deliver something that matters. And for me, it mattered to see the birth of Discovery Insure.
Mm. So that vision, that spiritual vision you had almost,
yes.
Eh? and eventually it materialized. Now it's a nice story. How has it really been since 2011? The growth been as expected, faster, slower, and just give us a bit of a feel of that journey. What is it, 7 years, 6 years?
6 years now. 6 years, yeah. 6 years now. And we're celebrating that we are now a very strong business. We're no longer a startup, so to speak. We're a genuine business that's contributing to the group. And it's such a good feeling. And we've got good leadership. I mean, if you look at the people in our exco, you've got the right people. You've got Anton Osip, who came in as a driver for me. And he's been an outstanding CEO. And I'm very blessed to have such people around me.
So growth, just quickly back to that one, was it as fast as you expect? Did the market, sometimes one's idea is ahead of its time.
Yes. We were lucky. I think we were
timing
lucky.
Perfect or what?
We were lucky that the design of the product was an attraction factor for the early adopters. And therefore, when we started the writing new business, it started growing rapidly because people kind of understood the vitality model. And they saw what we were trying to achieve. It was not a loyalty program. And I just want to be very clear on that. Because a lot of people, when they look at Vitality Drive and they look at Vitality Health Lifestyle, they think these are loyalty programs. These are not. Mm-hmm. These are lifestyle programs. And so, for instance, when you look at the health side, we call it, it's a wellness program. When you look at Discovery Vitality Drive, Discovery Ensure Vitality Drive, it's a driving program. It's to make you a better driver. And if you understood that it's not just a loyalty program, the approach and the things you put into it, the amount of investment you make into it, are fundamentally different to just creating a loyalty program. And I just want to emphasize that. It's important that we understand that it is not just another play on robbing Peter to pay Paul. That's not what we're trying to do here.
What's the vision there? But I'm still interested.
So the vision is still the same, creating a nation of great drivers, because we know by extension, when you create a nation of great drivers, you're saving people's lives. And when you're saving people's lives, you hopefully have a customer for a longer time.
I love that vision. And then practically as a business, growth expectations, but how do you describe the size of Discovery Ensure? What is its size now? Because you are listed, so I guess one can go and look at the detail.
Yes.
What is your size? How do you do?
I mean, you could look at it in terms of API. You can look at it in terms of the number of policies on the book or the number of vehicles on the book. But that's how we measure those success factors. But just to give you a snippet of that, we've got more than 170,000 vehicles on our book. So it's a sizable business. And you're looking at a business with an annual premium income of more than $2.5 billion. So it's not a tiny little thing on the side anymore.
From nothing?
Yes.
Is it something that you, from a more almost practical, that's not the right word, but vision to go beyond South Africa? Is it? Are you thinking that in that way?
I mean, we'll always explore opportunities when they come our way. We are always very clear that we want to be a focused business that delivers results where we've started. And then far beyond that, when the opportunity avails itself, we will definitely look at those opportunities. Mm. There's no doubt in our mind.
You're a 2015 Young Global Leader, and that's an honor bestowed by the World Economic Forum. Each year, they recognize distinguished leaders under the age of 40. They are nominated all around the world. We had Billy Mawasha on our show a short while back.
I know him very well.
Yeah, he was last year, I think 2016, he was nominated. And we had him on the show, and he's moving on from Kumbaya and Ore to something, I think, greater. Probably, he's probably one of the future global mining CEOs, certainly on track. And how did that feel? What does that do to you? Tell us about that accomplishment, if I may call it that.
I mean, if you were to focus on the emotions, obviously at the time, 2015, it was an overwhelming experience. There's no doubt about it. The experience of having gone through the journey creates unique perspectives. You get to see, because if you think about young global leaders, they come from academia, they come from politics, they come from business, they come from civil society. So you've got this mix of different ideas from every aspect of life that you can think of. And therefore, you get exposed and you have to engage with these people at different stages of their lives and in different stages of your life. It's just a unique experience in so many ways. But one of the key things for me has been the opportunity to get involved with the forum itself, particularly when it happened in Durban.
Just tell us about that. So you're nominated. You're now a year or two down the line.
Yes, okay? Yes.
Billy is a year or whatever down the line.
A couple of months, actually.
Yeah. What actually happens once you have that title or honor bestowed upon you?
You've got a huge responsibility. I mean, it depends at what point you take that responsibility and drive the results forward. But you've got a huge responsibility to shape the future of the world.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. And the more you put in, the more you get out. There's no doubt. But what I have experienced personally has been to be involved with very life-changing big programs that the African community is focusing on.
So those are happening.
Those things
are
happening.
And you get sucked into those or you jump into them.
I mean, you get invited. And you choose whether to get involved or not. I mean, I know, for instance, Billy has already made himself available for some of those things that are happening. And those are the kinds of things that the World Economic Forum provides. And we must understand also that while they may not be an implementation agency, but they connect people. They connect the right people to do the right work that they want to do.
I guess overall people who, if I go back to your authentic leadership principles, people who hopefully are selfless, who have a vision, who are visionaries, who have convictions,
and they speak persistent. And they speak about generosity. It's a key element of being a young global leader, part of this community. It's an element of generosity. And I always translate it in very simple terms, that we become leaders and we then have access and influence, not just for our own selfish gratification, so that those who need it the most can have access to those things they need. If we remember that, that's the spirit of generosity.
Yeah.
You've got access and influence, not just for your own gratification, but for those who need it the most.
Those are often the hungry, the homeless, the elderly.
Yes.
You know, the orphans, it's those kind of people. Timba,
the disabled.
Yes. How do you want to influence the world? Obviously in South Africa, better driving and more. How does Timba almost, I remember asking Adrian Gore, so when are you going to leave Discovery? When are you going to write books and speak and do this and do that? And his answer was an interesting one. He said, Adrian, there's nothing that I would really want to do that I can't do within this environment.
Mm, mm.
And that's why he's here and still going strong, it seems. Is that the same for you? Or maybe I've put you in a corner now with my question, bad questioning. But beyond Discovery, let's say, how do you want to shape the world? You've got a few years left, God willing.
I mean, you know, Adrian, my view is that simplicity of trying to expand the pursuit of solutions using entrepreneurial flair, creating an energized set of people who are completely liberated to find solutions to specific problems in a profitable way. For me, that's the real epitome of contribution.
It goes from you to others.
Mm-hmm. Because what it does do then, and I'll talk about my experience of trying to set up Discovery Insure. Having seen someone being able to do that in a form of Adrian was that liberating experience for me. And I'm hoping that the work I do will also liberate others to see that they've got an opportunity to do exactly what we've done. Going back to that proverb, indlela ibuzwa kwabaphambili. If Temba could do it, maybe I could do it better than Temba. And I could do it quicker than Temba instead of taking about 7 to 8 years. And those are the key things. Those are the avenues I'm looking to unlock, because I know there are so many people out there with brilliant solutions. They just need to have that opportunity to open that door.
And yeah, I guess one couldn't tally up how many people Adrian Gore has inspired indirectly.
Yes.
And even directly. And that's the route that you're walking. So in terms of Discovery Insure, I guess at one stage you were the CEO. And what are you now, executive chairman? What's your involvement?
Executive director of the business.
Executive director. Are you working on other solutions at the moment within the group?
We're always exploring. That's where I'm going to leave it. We are always exploring. There's always a solution to a specific problem.
It is a culture here, isn't it? You're always exploring.
There is always a solution to a problem. And South Africa is not short of problems. And therefore, that means we should be having a lot more people thinking about solutions. The answer is that it's not easy to crack it and to deliver the solution. But there's always a problem that can be solved in South Africa. And it reminds me of what Mlambo Ngcuka said one time. He said, I love South Africa for one thing. It's small enough that when you come up with a solution, you can impact the society. And it's big enough that there's scope for everyone to contribute.
Nicely said. Before I ask you to share a message with those leaders who you hope to inspire in terms of what you've done and will be doing, Louis, almost wrap-up comments. You've been sitting quietly listening.
Yeah. Temba, obviously we have much in common, you know, things we do. And in our own way, possibly we influence some thousands of people too, to be better leaders. And we get involved in many projects in the process. But we need to work a bit closer. Not so much just your business expertise, but also in those driving passion you have. Because even this youth project you're busy on a large scale involved with, they need to have opportunities opened for them. But the main important thing they must realize, it's a personal revolution within themselves. And this is what we really are so keen on carrying out there. So ultimately, it's not entitlement. Mm. It's really the qualities that a Temba has shown over years persistently and tenaciously, and also with a certain degree of vision as well. Now, this is the kind of thing, hopefully, we can work closer together, because there's great need for that out there. You know, we speak of opening the way and giving them capital and so on, but Temba, you know that entrepreneurs and any career, you start it by working hard and paying the price, and then all things are possible. But it's nice working with you, Temba.
So yes, Temba, we have these events coming up with youth where they're going to have national conversations, and I hope we can have you come and speak to them to inspire them, especially the entrepreneurial element. There's a strong drive for us to awaken the entrepreneur inside these youngsters, but they need a realistic view of it. It's not just this romantic play golf and drive a BMW. So we will engage you on that, but thank you for inspiring us today. Your final message to those leaders, that those people who want to solve problems and they're running into a wall, they're running into the 7-8 year cycle of trying and trying, and they just want to give up.
I mean, it's easy to say after you've gone through the journey that there's always a solution. There's always a way of getting things done, but you don't have to do it all by yourself. And for me, that's the key message. The key message is there's always an opportunity to collaborate. It doesn't have to always be just you against the world. There will be people out there that share the same views. The key thing I've noticed is that a lot of people are afraid to share their vision. They're afraid to share their thoughts because they think they're going to be ridiculed. Ridicule is part of the journey at times. And it doesn't mean that just because you'll be ridiculed, those who have ridiculed you, they were right. Let them ridicule you. Continue with your pursuit of finding appropriate partners. And partners are out there. There are plenty of partners. Sometimes we just don't know where to find them. But we just continue sharing, because when you continue sharing your story and your vision, someone will be in a position to connect you to the right people.
Temba Baloyi, Executive Director at Discovery Insure and a founder of it. What a wonderful, inspiring story. We've heard some of it before. I think some new things came out today as we dig deeper. And we appreciate your time today, giving us a full hour to talk about authentic leadership. First of all, the first podcast, half hour, and then the second half hour, just your journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next up, our Business Masterclass with Richard Angus and his team. Always worth listening to. Stay tuned. CliffCentral.com.